You're listening to the FPL Experiment Podcast. We are three friends, Adam, Greg, Nick. This is the experiment. Can we, over the course of the season, use our fantasy football experience and create a fantasy football team that finishes inside the top 50k? Game week two is over. Time to think about game week three. Greg Shaw is on the podcast. Best overall rank of 9k. Greg, how are you?
Absolutely pumped.
What's happened today? What's going on in your life?
I've just had a big dinner. I'm ready to go. I'm energized. I've had a good game week.
What was for dinner tonight?
I'm doing the Nick Jackson diet. Shitload of carbs.
Okay. Nick Jackson finished in the top 1% of teams in each of his past five seasons. And this is a very exciting moment. Talk to me, Nick.
Hello. Can you hear me on my new mic?
Hello to the new microphone.
This is the Yeti, guys. This is my new microphone. I've mounted the Yeti to my desk in my home office, otherwise known as the cockpit.
I don't get why it's called the cockpit. Nick Jackson in the cockpit.
Because we are ready for launch.
Can you say certain things to me that are in the cockpit into the new microphone in your best sexy voice?
I have a lovely monitor and a lovely microphone.
Never has a monitor sounded so sexy. Let's listen to the difference between the microphone this week to last week.
I know we're only one game in, but for me, after watching Spurs, I think the key thing for me is I think I'm going to be pretty wary of their assets going forward. I think we should get rid of Son. Very good.
So this is the FPL Experiment Podcast. We're going to talk about today the selections that you could make for your team this game week, the hot players. We'll talk about differentials. We're running a differential league table this season. We'll do some discussion slash argument about the transfers in our joint team. And we've got a guest today, FPL Nymfria, who has an FPL YouTube account and is also on Twitter at FPL Nym, M-Y-M, if you would like to follow her. She's going to be on the show today talking all things FPL, and we've got her on in a really good week, but we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about the game week that's been. Just so you know how we did this week, we scored 68 points. We now have a total of 137, which means our rank is just over 650k. Pretty happy with that, actually. Trent was good for us. Thank you, Alisson. Mitrovic came good, didn't he, Greg?
Yeah.
Leeds really bullied him. Aubameyang was our captain. Mitchell came off of the bench. Go on, Mitchell. And, of course, Son as well.
I think we should get rid of Son.
Alan Saint-Maximin, bit of an issue. Shea Adams as well. We'll talk about that later. Nicholas Jackson.
I think we should get rid of Son.
What's your takeaway? What's your takeaway, Nick, from the last game week?
There's a couple of things for me. So the first thing, Everton actually seem to be good now. We saw signs of it in their first game versus Spurs, but it seems like all the new signings have gelled really well and they're bringing something to the party. So I think, you know, from an FPL perspective, we should all be trying to get an Everton attacking asset in as soon as we can. And the second thing is more kind of stats-based. I know this is normally Greg's area, but I thought I'd chip in. Penalties. So I was struck with the number of penalties being given. So the last 2 weeks, there's been 13 penalties. Over the course of the full season, last season, there were only 92. So that's an average penalty per week count of 2.4 versus 6.5 this season. So, you know, this could be a blip. It could just be, or it could be as a result of the VAR changes, rule changes, or generally more open football being played. But I think when we look at how this could impact our teams, you know, should we be considering saving our budget and jettisoning some expensive defenders because there's fewer clean sheets? Or should we be just loading up on the penalty takers from each team?
I can't believe you're coming from a stats title.
Jettisoned in there this week.
I am the language man.
Where do you come from?
I come from far away.
Got a feeling tonight's going to really go off at some weird tangents. Nick, agree with you about Everton. They looked so good, didn't they, against West Brom? I liked just how much it looked like they were enjoying playing football. I don't know what Ancelotti's doing, but he's doing something.
It's been a long time since you could say that about an Everton team.
Yeah, they're so middle of the road, aren't they? If you had to pick like the most boring team in the Premier League, purely
Burnley.
Because nothing. Yeah, but just nothing ever happens with Everton.
Rodriguez, though, that ball that he passed to Richarlison was unreal.
The scoop?
Yeah, next level.
I really like the way that Ancelotti was talking about Calvert-Lewin as well and how he was comparing him to Inzaghi.
A hanging basket?
He didn't compare him to a hanging basket. No? It's weird, okay. It's really weird. Greg, from hanging baskets to you, what's your takeaway from this week's Premier League action?
I'm going to surprise you both. My takeaway is to take my Leeds United blinkers off. I'm not even unconsciously biased in Leeds at the moment. I've been consciously doing it, and it's been to the detriment of the FPL experiment and also my own personal team as well. So time to stop the Leeds loving. Look, we're amazing to watch. I just got to stop banging home about Leeds.
Have you spoken to Bielsa this week or not?
I've texted him a lot, haven't received a lot back.
Greg, I think the good thing here is that we didn't listen to what you were saying, so it's not really affected our team that much.
We didn't listen to a lot of each other last week, and thank fuck.
Yeah, we argued so much in the end. We just went, should we just leave it? Yeah. Let's just leave it. My takeaway from the last week is that occasionally you need to have a bit of patience. I think we did the right thing because we were looking at Manchester United assets and then we didn't go for a United asset. But choosing a player based on one game week worth of information just isn't really enough. So I think a little patience sometimes is good in fantasy football.
It's funny you should say that because I was toying between patience or the Leeds blinkers. I think given all that's happened on FBL Twitter this week, everyone that has been jumping on and off for certain players, and there's been some horrendous scores, and we'll speak to Nim about that later. Patience has been absolutely fantastic for us this week.
Takeaways done. We've got some questions that have come in and come through via our Twitter page at FPL Experiment. You can grab us there. We're on Instagram as well. Or you can email the FPLExperiment@gmail.com. Sidus_10 on Twitter. Got in touch. Question here. Let's go with you, Greg. Sterling or Kevin De Bruyne?
It's a tough one, this. It was quite interesting because Gianni mentioned last week that he actually thinks that Sterling could be the more explosive of the two. So that kind of got me thinking because I wanted to go Sterling just because of his less ownership and just to walk away from the template. But FPL Elf actually tweeted about this. Quite an interesting stat. So for the top 10 game week scores in last season between Raz and KDB, Raz's top scores were 21, 20, 17, 16, 11, 10, 10, 10, 10, and 8. But KDB's were 19, 19, 17, 15, 14, 14, 14, 13, 11, and 10. So actually, KDB's more explosive. That being said, if it was my own personal choice, I think with Aguero out for the next 4 to 6 weeks, I think Sterling becomes the better option for me. Post-restart, he was on fire, 9 goals. They've got 4 away matches in the first 6 games of the season, and 70% of his goals came away from home last year. So if it was me making the decision, I would go Raheem. But KDB looked fantastic against Wolves. So it is a toss of a coin.
You've also got to look at KDB's positioning, though, because he did seem to be playing like an out-and-out number 10, which I don't think he was last season, because maybe that's driven by Fernandinho being able to come back out of defence and into midfield and freeing him up a bit to go forward. But he could have got a huge haul against Wolves. He looked unplayable. If I had to choose, KDB for me to begin with.
Nick, can you ignore Chelsea and Manchester United until they find their form?
Man United, definitely based on that first performance, they seemed pretty flat, to be honest, and didn't really seem to have much of a plan. Chelsea, defensively, I'm not bothered about them because they don't seem to be able to keep a clean sheet.
But some good rugby tackles.
Some very good rugby tackles. From an offensive perspective, I am interested in Chelsea assets because they do have some nice fixtures coming up. And I think Werner could do well. He has shown some signs of getting on the score sheet. So I think he'd be a good one to watch. Havertz, I had him in my own personal team and that was a bit of a washout. But Werner, definitely.
Havertz is playing tonight in the cup, actually, part of the front three. So it'd be interesting to see how he does.
I think United are coming back big against Brighton this week. I'm expecting a bounce back. Obviously, they missed the first week, so they would have been a bit rusty against Palace. Palace, strangely, look really quite good at the moment, especially Jordan Ayew. Like, where did he come from? Lots of people, I think, on their wildcard are going to ignore United and Chelsea as well. So you've just got that option to make up a load of points. Anyway, let's get into some selections for the week, maybe to give us some ideas for our team, maybe some ideas for your team as well. Nick, let's start with you, goalkeeper.
Nick Pope. What a guy. I just
love that. He caught your eye after that spanking this weekend.
No, he hasn't caught my eye, but from a fixtures perspective, he has. I think Pope versus Southampton at home. Southampton look quite erratic going forward. I know I kind of panned them at the start of the season, but I do think they could get a clean sheet this week. The bookies have got Burnley at 2-1 for a clean sheet. Decent enough odds. They've got a really nice run of fixtures coming up with Newcastle, West Brom after this.
Nick, you keep working that angle to get some sponsorship from some sort of bookmakers.
He's really pushing it hard, isn't he?
He's really going for it, yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to trust the bookies though, right? If you can't trust them, who can you trust?
Greg?
I've gone Rui Patricio this week against West Ham, despite them playing much better than they did in game week one. I just do not see them getting anything Molyneux. The last four times they played West Ham, Wolves haven't conceded a single goal. West Ham as well are being hit by COVID this week. So Moisey's out, Diop's out. And then they've got a great run of fixtures after that. They've got Fulham. They'll probably lose loads to Leeds. And then they've got Newcastle and Palace. So I've actually brought him into my own personal team. And I think he's someone that everyone should be looking at right now.
To be honest, the fact that David Moyes isn't there might actually be a benefit to West Ham.
I was going to say, what does he really do?
In terms of defenders, I've been looking at the Wolves' defence as well. I think their fixtures are great. Cody and Saïss, I think, are both good options in defence. How about you, Nick?
I had Saïss as well. You know, in that first game, he could have had a hat-trick. And then over the next seven, they've got Fulham at home, Leeds away, Newcastle home, Palace home, Leicester away, Southampton at home, which are all big clean sheet potential games.
I've actually, from a defensive point of view, I've picked someone I've had in my own personal team since game one, which is Castagna. Yes, I know they're playing Man City this week, but he's already had a price rise. Since game week one, he's had one goal, one assist, one clean sheet. They've got, after Man City, they've got West Ham, Villa, Arsenal, Leeds. He's almost in the mould of a Trent Alexander-Arnold, Robertson, Digne, etc. So I think he's a really good option that comes in at a nice price range to put in your team and set and forget, really.
It's done really well for you in your personal team.
I did some research. So Jumpers for Goalposts, they posted an article a little while back about his underlying stats in Serie A compared to the Premiership against Chilwell. So like Castagne had better dribble success, higher cross completion, higher long ball completion. And I know you're comparing apples and pears with Serie A and the Premiership, but I thought I'd take a punt on him and he's come in and done exactly what he was meant to do.
Nick, how about in midfield? Anyone catching your eye as far as midfielders are concerned?
Yeah, I think I've already mentioned him, but KDB at home to Leicester. You know, KDB for me is in the must-buy category. He just looks so good. And Leicester look a bit leaky. I think he could go to town.
Enjoyed the alliteration there, Nick. Leicester look leaky. Completely agree. Now playing in that attacking midfield role. He's on penalties. He's on free kicks. He can score. He can assist. Greg, how about you in terms of midfielders?
I've literally either the Ginger Prince or Raz, as you guys have said.
I like Poo Dance as well at Wolves.
Yeah, but I've had him since game week one as well, boys.
In that game against City, he was getting into some really good positions. He had a couple of chances where he could have scored, potentially should have done slightly better, got the assist, linked up really well with him.
Filthy nutmeg.
With Jota leaving as well, looks like he's starting. I don't want to talk about players that are in Greg's team and give Greg any opportunity to talk about his own personal team in any way. But at the same time, I like saying Poo Dance.
Considering Greg is waxing lyrical about his own team, though, he doesn't actually have that many points. So it's a little bit embarrassing, really.
I think I've got more points than you, Nick.
By about five?
I think I've got more points than you, Nick. Oh, yeah, we're 12 all of a sudden.
Well, fuck you, Nick.
Midfield is kind of tied up there because Nick's already spoken about Everton. I think Rodriguez looks amazing and KDB is an absolute winner by the looks of things at the moment. In attack, well, it's just anyone against West Brom, Southampton, Fulham, West Ham and Leeds, isn't it? As long as you're playing against one of them, you're absolutely fine.
I've gone for Kane home to Newcastle. I mean,
oh, Nick, get off Kane. Stop. Why don't you and Kane just go out for dinner or something?
I'd like to. I'm near Tottenham.
What would be your first question you'd ask Kane at dinner?
What's Jose like?
Oh, fuck it off. You're better than that. Come on.
You can't really look much further than Kane at Newcastle.
Ooh. Oh, you love Kane. Oh, Harry.
Last game. Four assists and a goal. I mean, I know it's a freakish result, but I mean, come on. And another shout out to the bookies. 5-6 to score any time. So make of that what you will.
Nick, what about his Son? Assist. What do you think about Son?
I think we should get rid of Son.
Mm. There you go. I think some of Kane's assists at the weekend were just next level.
Yeah, but some of that defending was next level horrendous, wasn't it? It was like, yeah, you know the guy just scored two against you. he's free again in the middle.
In all fairness, it was a little bit like junior football where you just get the big lad at the back who'd hoof it up and the quickest little teenager would always score.
I wonder whether or not Walker Peters felt a bit bad playing well against his old team, so he just decided not to do any marking whatsoever. Vardy, for us, in attack, so annoying. How did Leicester score 4 and he got nothing? It's always so irritating when that happens. But anyway, strikers, Nick's gone for Kane. What a surprise. Greg, how about you?
I'm going with Werner. I've been pretty brutal in my opinions of Fulham and West Brom. And as you just alluded to earlier, look, anyone that's playing them, Southampton, Leeds, etc. at the moment, there's probably a lot of goals in it. I just think they're going to struggle this year. And I think this is the game that Werner gets off on the score sheet. He's had 2 games to get up to speed now in the Prem. Chelsea are going to want to bounce back after getting pummeled by Liverpool. And I think West Brom is just the game to do it.
Yeah, they've got really good fixtures as well. West Brom, Palace and Southampton in the next 3. I think they're massively going under the radar because everyone's jumping on other players. So I think you're probably about right there. I love Jimenez. I've always liked him as a fantasy asset. So looking at those fixtures, I think Jimenez could be a really good shout to be part of anyone's lineup. I think Jesus as well, given the Aguero injury, is certainly worth a mention.
My own issue with Jimenez is he never scores more than 1 goal.
I was thinking this, right? Because I've played my wild card in my own team. Really? And I was trying to get Jimenez in. But then I thought, I may as well get Jesus and then get Podence or Pudance. So then you're kind of covering Jimenez because Pudance does look great.
Kane in your personal team?
I don't, actually.
You're cheating on him, slut.
Let's talk about differentials. We've got a differential league table. And loads of people keep saying to me, having listened to the podcast, what's a differential? So a person is a differential. I just thought this was a term that was really well known. You're considered a differential if you're a player that's owned by less than 10%. League table looked like this going into the weekend. Greg was top on 14 points after a big score from Willian. I was second, had 2 points. Nick had 1, although he did have Eddie Nketiah, and Nketiah did score this week. But you don't get any points for that the week afterwards. Not how it works. So, Greg, you're still top of the table. So you went for Luca Dean this week.
Yeah, hit the bar, could have scored. Could have had a few assists as well, but I'm still happy with the choice, but didn't get me any points.
I went for Rashford, only 2. Nick went for Harrison, only got 2. So league table now looks like this. Greg, top of the table, still on 15. I've got 4 points. Nick has 3. So Greg, let's hear your differential for the game week.
I'm going for Gabriel Jesus, currently owned by, when I did this, 2.7%. I don't think he's risen much more than that since. He scored against Leicester last time that they played him away in February. He's got such low ownership, and obviously everyone is jumping on the KDB, Raz bandwagon at the moment. Maybe a lot more Foden as well, but for such a low ownership, with pretty much guaranteed start time, I think he could bang this weekend as well.
Nick, who have you gone for?
I'm going for the big Kiwi, Chris Wood.
Nice.
2.2% ownership for Burnley at home versus Southampton. He could be a great option. He's on the end of everything, with McNeil whipping him in regularly as well. He could be found a few times this weekend. He looks super strong versus Leicester. Get him in my team.
Nick, great shout. I've gone for Jesus as well. Do you know what, Greg? I felt a bit dirty doing it. I don't know about you, but also I can't be bothered to now go and do a bit of extra research so that we've got a different player. So I've gone for Jesus as well.
I think it's actually a bit mainstream going for City players as your differentials, but, you know, we'll let you off. I think we should get rid of Son.
Do you know who the best differentials were this week? Any idea? Well, the highest scoring differentials, there are 2.
No.
One's at Villa.
Oh, Martinez.
No, but he did score highly, and I think he's probably quite a good option. Ezri Konsa, 15. One's at Brighton.
Oh, Maupay.
Yeah, Neil Maupay, 16 high scoring differential for the week. About 1% of teams have got him.
That's a nice feature. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, I used to work in radio. Thank you. Recap then. Let's do a little recap. FPL experiment team. We scored 68 points the game week just gone. We've now got 137 points in total. We're just outside of the top 650K. Greg, do you want to run through the team that scored us points this week?
Yeah, Ramsdale and Nyland are our keepers. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Dallas, Vinagre, Mitchell, our unsung hero, and Tierney. Aubameyang, Salah, Saint-Maximin, Son, Bissouma, Che Adams, Mitrovic, and Vardy.
Nick, what sort of moves do you think we should make this week?
After being dull last week, I think we should go big. So I'm thinking 3 transfers. Aubameyang out, Tierney out, Adams out. That frees up 23.4 million. And with that, we could get in KDB, Calvert-Lewin, and then a 4.5 defender. So Justin at Leicester, 4.5, all right. Taylor at Burnley, great fixtures. Or Lamptey at Brighton. Lamptey looks like the most exciting player, and he seemed to be playing really high up. But I think just on the fixtures alone, Burnley defence has to be considered. So I'm thinking Taylor.
This is weird. Playing around with this the other day, on the train today, like what subs I'd make. I literally did De Bruyne, Calvert-Lewin. I actually brought in Justin for Leicester rather than Taylor when I was just playing around what we could do. So I'm literally singing off the same hymn sheet of you.
I would absolutely love to get Kevin De Bruyne in the team. So for me, without question, he comes in. I've really wanted to get Jimenez into the team. I can't see a way to get Jimenez into the team.
You can take Vardy out.
Vardy always does well against the top six. And I think just with the games that they've got coming up, I just think it'd be silly to take him out now. We didn't bring Vardy in for a two-week punt, and he's already returned anyway in one of those 2 weeks. So for me, I'd want to keep Vardy in. And I think more and more people are going to be jumping off of Vardy on their wild cards this week anyway. So he could be a really good differential for us.
I just think this is the week where it's worth taking a hit. You know, Aubameyang's fixtures aren't great, so getting him out frees up so much money. So I think it's worth it. If we can get our dross out of our team, like Tierney, who's injured, like Adams, who, although he's looked good, he's not actually delivered from an FPL perspective. And I think getting the flavour of the month, Calvert-Lewin, it could be well worth it.
Yeah, I think we have to have some sort of Everton attacker in our team.
But given what you're saying, would we play 4-3-3, given that Sam Maximan is injured, Bissouma was sent off? So we're looking at either Mitchell or Vinagre playing. I don't know what the status is of Patrick Van Aanholt, and I don't know whether Vinagre will play.
Away. I think Marcel, it was a muscle injury, is what Nuno said. So they're going to wait to see what it is. But I reckon Vinagre will play this weekend.
So are we quite happy then, and I'm just playing devil's advocate really, to leave Sam Maximan on the bench?
Yes.
I'm quite happy with what you've said, Nick. I think that's a nice selection.
Fantastic. I can't wait.
So guys, it sounds like our team is pretty set. But first of all, maybe we just speak to our guest and see whether or not they can maybe shed some light on the three transfers that we're going to make. So today we're going to be joined by FPL Nymfria, who is on YouTube with loads of FPL content, but also if you're on Twitter, FPL Nym, M-Y-M. Thanks for joining us, Nym. Thanks for being on the FPL experiment.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's a good week for you to be here, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to delight in my misery about it, that's for sure.
So Nym, just for those that don't maybe follow Nym, didn't have a best week in fantasy football this week, but it happens to all of us. That just happens sometimes. So before we get into that, Nym, we always like to kind of have a bit of a discussion about where your love for FPL started. So for you, where did it all come from? Where does it stem from?
Okay, so while I was at university, my best friend was a fantasy football player, and he was a very good one. And every weekend, you know, we'd end up watching Match of the Day or whatever. And eventually he came around to saying, you know what, I need somebody in a mini league. Would you like to be in it? Like, you like football? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I've got no idea what I'm doing, but I'll give it a go. And he was like, cool. I really think he thought I might be some easy fodder, to be honest. So played it for season one, obviously. And that was it, really. I was hooked after that. Absolutely fell for it, hook, line and sinker. And still going strong.
How long ago was that, Nym? How many seasons have you been playing for?
So I started in 12-13.
So a little while then.
Yeah, just a little while.
And what's your best finish?
23K.
This week wasn't a great week for you. I think lots of people have had tough weeks because maybe they banked on City and Manchester United potentially. Am I right in saying you've gone for your wildcard this week?
I have. Yeah, I actually got 26 points overall in game week two, which was my worst game week ever, like ever. It was one of those ones that whilst I looked at my team and I thought, you know, it's not really that terrible. I've just had one of those really shockingly unlucky game weeks. I did feel, you know, with it being the worst ever game week, that the only way I was going to be able to, I suppose, kind of lift myself up is to go for a wild card. So yeah, that's what I've done. Somewhere between feeling regrettable about it and feeling really excited about it all at the same time.
I was going to say, was it a rage wild card as opposed to actually take a step back? My squad isn't that bad. I probably could have done all right with a few subs.
I was one of those people that did sell Son for Bruno. So that was the biggest ouch, really. And I'm not really sure why I did that, because all week I was going, you know, I had two Southampton defenders from the first game week, and Southampton really didn't look that great in the first game week. So why am I selling Son ahead of this fixture? And I was literally saying that all week in every, you know, bit of FPL content that I created. And yet it was just that panic of not having a United player and not having Bruno in my team. And so I kind of went for it, I guess. I jumped thinking the prices might rise, and they didn't actually go in the end, and much to my detriment, obviously. But I didn't rage wildcard, because I actually wildcarded Friday evening, so that was before I'd actually had the brunt of Saturday's games. It was more, I think, that I was feeling quite stuck in my formation. So I was 3-5-2. And it does feel a lot like already this season, quite a lot of forwards are emerging. And I really didn't want to hit. I was just like, I just feel very stuck. I'm not really sure where to go with this team now. So I hit the wild card Friday evening. And then it's probably a good job that I did, because come Saturday, it only got worse with Lewis and his 0 points, which was fabulous. And then I had St. Maximum. I had Peters, who was meant to be a bit of a differential to Taylor. And of course, he didn't start and then came on 40 minutes to score an own goal. So that was -2 points. So yeah, it just felt like, had I not have done it Friday, I probably would have done it Saturday anyway.
Nim, how have you constructed your wild card then? Who are the key players that you've gone for?
Yeah, so I'm definitely targeting Everton and Wolves. They're like important. I've also got KDB in. Weirdly, even though Bruno was such a pull last game week, he hasn't factored once yet in my wild card.
You resent him. That's why.
That's what it is. Yeah, I think deep down I just have this, you know, burning like never again.
Who's the player who isn't in your squad, who hasn't made it into your wild card team, you are kind of concerned about, or you think will do really well this week?
So I've got two wildcard teams at the moment on the burner. One is with Son and one is without Son. Right. So I'm hoping he will play tomorrow evening and I will get a bit more of an idea as to whether that was a one-off performance or whether that's something we can expect from him, you know, going forward.
Nim, you always have that one player in your wildcard team generally who you think is maybe slipping under the radar, or that you've got a quiet suspicion that they might really bang. Who's the player that's in your wildcard team that you have a sneaky suspicion might be brilliant?
So I've actually switched Trent for Robbo at the moment. And Robbo was in my thoughts pre-season as well. And I just have a bit of a gut feeling this season that he will outscore Trent. I am feeling like I'm gonna make the leap, if you see what I mean, because he's the one I'm hoping will be my kind of secret weapon over all the Trent owners.
Yeah, I've done Robbo in my personal team as well over Trent. I needed the extra bit of money.
Yeah, that 0.5 is quite valuable, isn't it?
Nim, in your most successful season, what was the key thing that you think you did better than you did in the other seasons?
That's a good question. Until about three seasons ago, when I set up doing my content creation, I never played OR. In fact, I didn't even know the OR thing existed. I know that sounds really silly, but I was a mini league player. So when I joined, it was in mini league with friends, and then it became, you know, joining a couple of other mini leagues. And it was always about beating the people in my mini leagues and not really about what my overall rank was. So it's amazing how that makes a difference to how you play the game. I mean, it shouldn't, because if you're really good in OR, you should be doing really well in your mini leagues. But we all know that if you're trying to win your mini league, there'll be those players that your, you know, your leader will have in the group that you'll think, oh, I need to have that player, but I also need this slight differential and things like that. So when I look back on it now, it's trying to think about it in the same way as a mini league, but just upscaled. So trying to think about how many of the majority of the people who play FPL will have these certain players, but then also have those small key differentials that'll just give you that edge on those players.
It's a very hard balance, isn't it, to try and protect your overall rank whilst protecting the people that are chasing you? Because like Adam and Greg are quite regularly chasing me in our league.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of know how that feels.
There you go.
I knew it was coming. It was so obviously set up.
Yes, no, it is a delicate balance. I've been known to sell Salah when the leader has had Salah and buy in Sterling, for instance. And a couple of seasons ago, I think I was 90 points behind the leader with 8 weeks to go. And I actually managed to draw the league for a win, which was probably one of my finest moments in mini league ever, because it was just a surge of using my chips at the right time, getting the right people. I think I took a -8 to start off the whole comeback, and yeah, it just like rolled from there really. But it was just not really thinking, oh my gosh, you know, how many ever percent of people own Salah and how many people own Sterling. It was me going, you know what, I really think Sterling's going to do better.
Niamh, thanks for coming on the podcast tonight and giving up your time. We really appreciate that. So you can find Niamh on YouTube, FPL Niamh Freer on YouTube, and also on Twitter as well, FPL Niamh. I wish you all the best with your wild card. I hope it goes well.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope so too.
Another news, Havertz just scored tonight, by the way, boys.
Who are they playing against?
They are playing Barnsley at home. I mean, meh, but still, he's off the score sheet.
I'm always dubious if somebody plays in the cup match in the week. Does that mean they're not going to play on Saturday?
I just think he wants him up to speed with the English game, and I think he needs some match fitness as well. So I don't think that's an issue.
And he only took him off because they got a red card, right?
Yeah, fair point. This is the way things are looking, guys. We're going to go for Aubameyang out, Shea Adams out, for Calvert-Lewin and Kevin De Bruyne. We're going to go for a defender. Which defender are we going to go for to replace Tierney, because Tierney's injured?
With our budget, we've got 4.6 million left. So in terms of who we can actually get in that's affordable, that's currently on the most points, we've got Justin, obviously your differential. You mentioned Konsa, but I do not want any Villa players on my team. Holding Lamptey, but he's out. Lewis is out.
Are you just going to read all of the players that are under 4.6?
I had that list at the start, Greg, which is Taylor at Burnley. He's 4.5.
I think yeah. Taylor, I like Burnley. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Taylor will get you assists as well. So, yeah, let's get Charlie Taylor in the mix.
Shall I hit the button? Next step and transfer?
Yeah, fire.
Done.
So the FPL experiment team is sorted for the next game week.
Well, it's not, because we actually need to work out who starts and who is on the bench.
And captain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because right now we've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, Dallas, Van Agre, Mitchell, De Bruyne, Salah, Son, Calvert-Lewin, Mitrovic, Vardy, with Taylor as first sub.
Why are we playing Van Agre?
Well, because he was just in the team. Do you want me to sub him out?
Yeah, because Van Agre doesn't even start, right?
Well, it depends if Marcel's out.
To be honest with you, I think Van Agre hasn't been starting, so Van Agre is the first sub, right, because yeah. St. Maximan is injured as far as we're aware. It's Wednesday.
So who do we go as captain, boys?
Salah for me. Salah at home, you cannot bet against him.
Is it Salah or is it De Bruyne?
Mate, I mean, the argument for putting it on KDB is that we've taken a hit to get him. So if we can put it on him and he delivers, he's paid for himself. That would be my only argument. But I just love Salah at home.
I'm gonna back Nick on this one as well and say I think Salah at home. I think Arsenal could come crashing back to reality a little bit in this game. And I think Liverpool will want to put a marker out there as well.
Well, if I'm outvoted, then what can I do?
That's democracy, just, my friend.
That is democracy, yeah. So the FPL experiment team is sorted. I will put the team up on our Twitter page at FPL Experiments. And also, the FPL experiment now has a league which you can join, and the league code is XZLMG1. XZLMG1 to join the FPL Experiments Fantasy Football League. The code is also on the Twitter page if you scroll down a bit. Come join us.
Have you seen this, lads? Ryan Reynolds is going to be a potential new investor in Wrexham Football Club.
What?
That's a weird story, isn't it?
That's weird, yeah.
I also learned something else the other day about Leeds, Greg, which, you know, you might not know. Patrick Bamford, grade 8 violin.
The gentleman footballer.
Keep that in, Ad.
I'll make sure that that's in the Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
I think we should get rid of Son. That's it now, no more.